Welcome to episode 95 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. In many of the episodes we've had lately, I brought up the concept of a local minimum. It's also called a local optimum. I have explained it before, but I thought I'd take some time to explain it in a little more detail. Picture a graph with your x and y axis. The x-axis is horizontal. You can move along it right to left. The y-axis is vertical. You can move up and down along that one. Let's take some unknown function. The x-axis is the variable, some number that can be fed to it that will produce the right answer. The y-axis is the distance between the correct answer and the answer that is generated. So, if you put 3 through this function, the correct answer is 5, and you get 7, then above the 3 on the x-axis is a little dot at 2. Or if you put, say, 5 through the function, and you're 17, instead of the right answer, say, 7, then the dot will be way up at 10. 10 spaces above the 5. This is a one-dimensional problem. It's being graphed on two dimensions, but it only has one variable, thus one dimension. A note on dimensions and dimensionality in mathematics. At least in this context, the number of dimensions is equal to the number of parameters, or the number of numbers you have to provide in order to find the solution. So, a one-dimensional problem has only variable x. A two-dimensional would have x and y. Three dimensions would have x, y, z. When we get to four dimensions, I guess we can wrap around the alphabet and start with A. X, y, z, A. But let's not worry about that. Let's go back to our original graph. X is the value we've assigned to the parameter. And y, how high above x you are, is the distance between the correct answer and the answer that you've generated. Things like genetic algorithms, genetic programming, and even the ant colony optimization method we talked about in the previous episode generally aren't used for single variable problems. Those are a little too simple for those approaches. Let's say that you have generated solutions that have converged on the number 9. You are 3 spaces above the best possible answer. The number 10 is 18 spaces above the best possible answer. The number 8 is 50 spaces above the best possible answer. But the number 7 is correct. Your population is stuck in a local minimum, and there are two very tall walls on either side of where you are that you have to climb over somehow. With a local minimum, in this case, it's very difficult to get up over those walls. Any change you make towards the right answer will appear to be causing you to do much worse. With the evolutionary approaches, such as genetic algorithms and genetic programming, there are some things you can do to encourage your population to experiment with the other values, even though moving towards the correct value of 7 means climbing over a 47-point higher wall to get there. You can, for example, increase the population size. So, if there are, say, 10 individuals, and that can be represented by one little dot, you go to 100,000 individuals, and you have a lot more dots. They fill up the little valley and start to climb up the walls. The other thing you can try is to perturb your population more. More mutation, more crossover. This doesn't increase the number of individuals, but it sort of increases their velocity, so that they roll back and forth, and maybe can roll up high enough to get over that peak, and over to the number 7. In nature, there appear to be some mechanisms that have developed, so that a given population, when under stress, will increase their own variety. Many species that are capable of producing both asexually and sexually will opt for sexual reproduction when their population is under stress. This increases the variety, increases the velocity of their rolling back and forth inside their local minimum. Bacteria that trade plasmids, little free-floating bits of DNA, are much more likely to do that when under stress. There are also some bacteria that have complicated mechanisms in place to take DNA from just about anywhere, and specific places in their DNA where they will splice that in to experiment. This is one of my main criticisms of things like genetic algorithms and genetic programming. The rate of crossover is set by the programmer. The rate of mutation is set by the programmer. The places that will be mutated and the places where crossover will occur within an individual's program structure or genetic code is often chosen at random. In nature, specific mechanisms have developed, ways of trying experiments that are less likely to cause deleterious or disastrous changes in the organism. It would be nice if the crossover and mutation operations could be under the control of the actual population. In most of the evolutionary approaches, there is no mechanism that would allow that to happen. You'd have to somehow have a population that's able to innovate and explore, even explore how they can change themselves and each other. Have there ever been any sort of simulations where the population was able to experiment with altering themselves and each other in different ways, and not just be confined to the ones chosen by the programmer? That brings us to artificial life and digital organisms, which we'll talk about next time. See you then.